Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're in the books of Exodus, and this is chapter 35. After this chapter, we have only five more chapters to go, and then we'll be into the book of Leviticus. But right now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to quicken, to make this chapter strong into our spirits so that it gives us the Spirit of the Lord, which is the grace or the power of God in us to continue another day in the Lord, serving him and staying alive spiritually, eternally. We don't receive eternal life when we leave this, our bodies. We have eternal life right now. And if we possess it unto the end, if we continue in eternal life to the end, we will possess our souls eternally. So, Father, we thank and praise your Holy Spirit. For, Lord, we know that our prayers are like incense unto you. And, Lord, it's like the Holy Spirit is the telephone line or wire that we talk to you through. You talk to us by your Spirit, and we talk to you by our Spirit mingled with your Spirit. Lord, quicken this chapter unto us and make it give us the power. Let it give us the power. Your word is spirit and life to stand another day. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Chapter 35, King James Version, verse 1.
Exodus. Okay, then what?
And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded.
He gathered them all together, because the Lord didn't want one straggler sleeping in the tent or somebody out playing golf or whatever while the rest of them are hearing the instructions of the Lord, because it's that very person that would not know the things that the Lord has said to do, and then invariably and eventually they would do something wrong and they would wind up stoned to death and their souls would spend eternity in hell. So he called all the congregation together. All of them have to hear the words of the Lord. And people that think that they can skip the word of God and not pay any attention to it, you're cheating yourself if you're cheating by not reading the scriptures. Because you're going to miss the very one that Satan convinces you not to hear is the very one that you need most of all. So make sure you hear all these tapes. And make sure that you think about them all day long. Keep looking up. Meditate on these words, because they are your very life. The very Spirit of God is your life. The life is in His blood. And the blood, which was shed for you, we receive that by faith. And only the blood of Christ taketh away the sins of the world, and the Lord doesn't want us dealing with any other blood, because there's no life in any other blood but His. Okay, then what?
These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel.
Now the Lord wanted people to not even do one speck of their own labor during that day, because he wanted everybody to know how holy it is, and eventually in the New Testament how holy it is to stay in the Lord and don't do any of your own work, but do the work of the Lord. Now the Lord in his word says that it's all right for us to work, but we do have to rest our bodies a day a week. And the Holy Spirit always makes it available for us. He'll let us know if we're walking in the Spirit what day that's supposed to be. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be Friday or Saturday or Sunday or whatever. But he wants, this is symbolic of the New Testament, where we rest in the Lord 7 days a week, every day of the month, every day of the year. And it's all right for us to do the work of the Lord on the Sabbath, because the Lord leads us by His Spirit. A person called up and stated that One of the brothers in Los Angeles wanted him to stuff tracts, but the Lord was dealing with him to go into the prayer room because he wanted to tell him something. And it was that very night that one of the brothers, another brother, got the same message, and he went in and spoke in tongues and came up, and the Lord gave him a real good, excellent prophecy from the throne. And he went ahead and listened to what the other brother said. You got to stuff tracts and did it instead of obeying the Spirit of the Lord. And so it doesn't make any difference what people tell you. If the Lord's Spirit is telling you to go pray, don't listen to anybody else. Go and pray. Amen?
Amen.
Or if he's telling you to witness to somebody, and somebody's driving in a car and they say, no, we got to go and pick up some bananas or some groceries or something, tell them, stop the car. The Lord wants me to witness that person. All right? You have to be led by the Spirit. That might be the last time that person gets an opportunity to be witnessed to. So Sabbath means resting in the Spirit of the Lord so that you can listen intently to and tenderly to the Spirit of the Lord. With a great zeal, listen to Him, because your life and the life of others depend upon you listening to the Lord and doing what He says, whether it seems an embarrassment to you or not, to tell somebody, look, I have to go pray now, or look, the Lord is telling me to witness to that person on the street. You have to be bold enough to tell the person that you're with that that's what the deal is, all right? Because you're resting in the Lord, and that person is just gung-ho to do what his flesh wants to do. And that way you're reproving the person that the Lord is more important than what he wants you to do, or she wants you to do. All right? Okay, then what?
Verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord.
Well, why didn't the Lord speak to everybody? Because everybody in the congregation said they didn't want the Lord to speak to them, that they wanted the Lord to speak to Moses, and for Moses to come and tell them what the Lord told them to do. And so it was their own wishes that they received messages from Moses. Amen?
Amen.
But then pretty soon they were saying that Moses wasn't hearing from the Lord. They knew full well that he was. Otherwise, they would have never asked him to tell God not to talk to them anymore, lest they die. Because they were afraid, so afraid of the Lord, that they were afraid they'd die if they heard from him. A bunch of cowards. Because God isn't going to hurt anybody unless you're doing something that he said he'll hurt you for. And so, how could we love a God like that? Well, how could a God like that love you? Okay, you better think about it that way. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be so worried as to whether you're going to receive God or not. You better worry about whether God's going to receive you or not. Because who are you but a piece of dirt with a little bit of God's breath in you? And he can pull that breath on you at any given time. So it's best that you be obedient to him. Then what?
Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass.
So this is saying a willing heart. In other words, you don't have to. You have to be a person that is willing to do something for the Lord. So it's an optional thing. You can do it or not. God never makes you do anything. He tells you what you're supposed to do, and then you have to believe it enough to get the gumption in you to go and do it, to be obedient to the Lord, because he's not going to twist your arm. He says it, then he expects you to get up and do it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Whosoever is of a willing heart.
Willing heart. You know, the stress is on willing, an optional person. Person, you can do it, you can serve the Lord, or you don't have to. But remember, you got to pay the consequences. Amen?
Amen?
If you don't. Then what?
Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass.
Right there, he's telling you what he wants for you to bring to him. And he wants it because he's going to use it to build the tabernacle. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't because he's going to store it up in some warehouse up in heaven, because he does. He's made all the gold. He put it. He doesn't need you to give it to him. He manufactures gold and silver and precious jewelry. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't need you to do that. You're not giving anything to God that he didn't already make. He made all the silver and gold everywhere in the world, and all the diamonds and rubies and pearls and emeralds. All these belong to God in the first place. So if you're going to give him something, don't think you're giving him a big deal, because it's his anyway. And after you die, you're not going to take one of those little stones into the kingdom of heaven. You're not even going to take one of your gold teeth, because it's not going into heaven. Amen? You can't take anything with you. You came into the world naked without gold teeth. As a matter of fact, you didn't even have any regular teeth in your head. Amen?
Amen.
Just gooms. Amen?
Amen?
And a bunch of slobber. Okay? Then what?
Let him bring an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and acacia wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil.
No orange, yellow, green, or purple? Well, yeah, purple, but not pink. It has to be these particular colors he mentioned. Amen?
Amen.
So don't think you're going to get cute and that you're a better artist than he is. Just do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his catches, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets.
Yeah, if you go on a camping trip, you got to have boards, and you got to have these pillars that hold the tent up, okay? You go on a camping trip without those sticks that hold the tent up, and the sticks that you tie the rope on to keep the tent stretched, well, you won't be. You'll be sleeping on the ground with the thing. You'll be wrapped in the tent for a covering. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to have all these different points, and the Lord knows that, and taught us all how to make a tent. Amen?
Amen.
So it's just the natural things that it takes, except most people don't use brass to put the staves into the ground. They just put sticks or iron or something like that, because they usually don't camp out for 40 years at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Usually people just go on a weekend trip, you know. Or if you're like a wild person, like I was when I was a kid in the mountains of Montana, I'd go out there and wouldn't even take a tent. I'd just sleep on the ground, which wasn't too bright, I have to admit. All right? And at nighttime, I'd get cold, and I'd start moving towards the fire unconsciously. And I wind up with burnt holes all over my jeans, because the cracklings from the wood fire that I built to keep the wolves away would pop out and land on my jeans, and I'd wake up from the little burning holes in my jeans all over. Little ones and big ones, and you could see them smoldering. And I'd have to jump out of my britches right quick and stomp on them in order to get the fire out of my clothes. Walk back into town and get whipped by my dad for having... living out there for so many days, I told him lies that I was out with the Boy Scouts. Here I was out just by myself. Okay, so this is teaching you how to put a tent up, first-class tent. This is like only a different kind of a tent than you would have. This was the actual holy temple of God, the tabernacle of God, which no longer exists because we are the temples of the Lord. And the Bible states that in the last days, that Satan would enter into the holy temple of God. That means that there'd be a great falling away, that Satan would move into people that say they're saved because a demon was cast out of them, and then he'd bring seven more demons worse than the one that was originally cast out of them, and he'd bring seven more with him to go into this tent or tabernacle of God, the temple of God, the holy temple of God, which you are, because God does. There's no holy temple today except our human bodies, the human bodies of those of us that are born again of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was, and it's that's what makes it the holy temple of God, because God, the Holy One, lives inside of us. And then if we let Satan move in, if we start doing the opposite things that the Lord tells us to do, well, then Satan has moved into the holy temple of God. We were not made by the hands of man. We were made by God to be the temple of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So Satan will move into a great number of people that are born again of the Spirit, that were part of the body of Christ, and say that he's God in them, because once we stop serving God and worshiping God, then we become the unholy temple of Satan. Because there's only two masters. One is God and the other one is Satan. And you can't serve them both. Either you're going to let the Lord sit down on his throne in you, in his, and make your body his holy temple. Know you not that you are the temple, the holy temple of God, and that you don't belong to yourself? Once you give yourself to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. You don't own yourself anymore. And once you give yourself over to Satan again, you belong to Satan. And he will run your life from then on. And then you'll receive the same reward that Satan is going to receive on the last day. You're going to be in hell in the lake of fire forever. So, this is symbolic of also of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. It says, before the Lord comes back, there'll be a falling away from the Lord. This is a great falling away, because you can see most of the Christian television programs are falling away people that once were saved, but now they're following heretics, false preachers and teachers, false prophets. And we can get into the kingdom of heaven only through the Word, which is Jesus. When the Word is mingled with heresy, that's strange fire. And God hates that. He hates people that follow after part of God's Word, and maybe 99% of God's Word, and then 1% of Satan's heresy. And so this is in disguise. It looks like to the world that this is a great revival of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact, it's the great falling away. It's the Antichrist kingdom that is Satan's last chance to destroy the souls of human beings. And this is the Lord's final revival to win people to him. So we have to choose, Jesus said, who we would serve. We can't have two masters. Either serve God and keep his commandments, or go over to the devil. Because you're not going to give any added strength to the devil. You become as weak as the devil when you go to him. But you will add to the kingdom of heaven if you come to the Lord and stay there. And don't receive any false doctrine, any heresy, because if you do, you're part of the great falling away. And God stated that Christ is going to come back and burn all them up with the brightness of his coming, the glory of his coming, because they had not the love of the Word of God in them. Amen?
Yeah.
So, don't think that what you see everyone saying, Lord, Lord, today is of the Lord. Because any time any of them are saying that God loves you unconditionally, know now that that is the devil. Because with God, everything is conditional, even when you get saved. When you come to the Lord, you must come to the Lord. And you must vow, make a deal with him, make a covenant with him, that you're going to walk in the Spirit. Not in the spirit of Satan, of heresy, but in the spirit of the Lord, his word. And the Lord says that he does not love you unconditionally. That everything with God is conditional. It doesn't matter whether you said, yes, Lord, and then you start committing adultery and fornication and running after prostitutes and after homosexuals and lesbians. You're living a life of sin, and you know it. And if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, if you don't fall if you don't keep the Sabbath by keeping the Sabbath holy every day. If you covet, if you murder, and hatred is the same as murder in the New Testament, if you hate your brother. Now, we're supposed to hate evil, but if you hate your own brother or sister, somebody that's really of the Lord, then you're in big trouble with God. And all the different Ten Commandments, and if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're part of the Antichrist, unlawful, lawless kingdom of the Antichrist. If you take the mark of the beast, or take the Lord's name in vain, saying, praise to Jesus, and you don't even know what you're saying or care. All right, praise the Lord. Let's continue on.
And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets.
Now, when he says all that the Lord has commanded, that means pay attention. Don't leave the boards out or the taches or whatever. Okay? And that's what everything that I say in my word also, you have to keep the commandments of that, because all of it keeps your tent, which is actually my tent, my tabernacle, my temple, the house that I live in. The Lord says, in my Father's house, or temples, a temple is many temples. In other words, God lives in many temples, or tabernacles, or tents, or houses. And you, if you're walking in the Spirit, are one of them. And make sure that you stay there. Okay, then what?
The ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves.
Right, now the mercy seat is like the cherubs, or the cherubs, and they guard the ark of the covenant, which is your symbolic of your heart. You have to make sure that the angels of the Lord are watching over your heart to make sure that you sow mercy instead of evil. You can't run your mouth the way you want to run it. You cannot say false things about people that are in the house of God to people that you know that are going to go to their husbands or their wives that are not allowed to come into the house and tell things that are false to help your husband or wife to fall away from the Lord. You have to keep watch over your heart, the Ark of the Testimony. It's like a covering angel, as we are like covering angels or messiahs, because it's the Messiah in us. We're symbolic of it, just like Moses was symbolic of it. We're bringing the message of the Lord. We're covering the job that God did in Christ Jesus, and so we're like covering angels. Or messiahs. Or, as Paul said, sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Ye are the sons of God. Jesus said, ye are the lights of the world. You're the messiahs of the world. A messiah is the one that brought light into this world. Amen?
Amen.
And he's bringing light in the world, the messiah in us, is using us as little messiahs with the same message that he had. None other. Amen?
Amen?
So we have an important office, the most important office in the world, because we're dealing with human souls to lead them by the righteousness of God's word into the kingdom of heaven. And you hear all these false prophets saying that they are the righteousness of God when they're telling people all those lies. If it's the Lord dealing to people in us and through us, the very same message as the prophets, Jesus and the apostles gave, well, then we truly are the righteousness of God. Not us, but God in us, doing his work in and through us. But they say that they are, and they're all sitting there, a bunch of sinners, saying, amen. And they don't do one thing. They just give money to these unrighteous, false prophets who are part of the falling away, part of the Antichrist movement, disguised to look like a major revival. Satan is tricky. You can see how deceptive he is. Amen?
Amen.
By making the great falling away, which is the last sign before Christ comes back to earth, look like a revival. And people don't know it because they don't read the Bible for themselves. Everyone needs to read their Bibles for themselves and not trust what any man is saying to you. Even you, Tony? Yeah, even me. Just check me out. You're really good. And anyone that doesn't tell you to do that is a false prophet. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, yeah, check me out. Here, I'm reading the Bible to you yourself. You can listen to it to see if I'm telling you the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
The table and his stakes and all his vessels and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense.
Now, God is just telling Moses, and Moses relating to the congregation, that all these things that are part of the tabernacle have to be built exactly the way that the Lord says. So he's telling the whole congregation that, because the congregation, or the Congo, is going to check out these workmen to see if all these things are correct. And I'm sure a lot of people were taking notes. Even though they're not going to be the workmen, they're going into that tabernacle to see if these workmen did it just that way. And God gave those workmen wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the spirit of to be able to do these things exactly the way God said. And they must have been totally astounded when they went into the tabernacle to see that it was done exactly. They came out of the mind of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? And that's what we are. We have to make sure that all the parts of our tabernacle, which is actually the Lord's tabernacle, which is the temple of God, the holy temple of God, we have to make sure that all the Word of God is in place in our bodies. This is symbolic of that. Because everything is detailed, and we are to live by not some of the Word of God, but Jesus said, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Amen?
Amen?
So every word is important. Every word is weighty. Every word is so weighty that if one word or one meaning of the word were taken away, the entire universe would unglue and would go into chaos. Because it's the Word of God that holds the whole universe together, and there can't be one missing link. Okay? All right, praise the Lord. That's how important the Word of God is. And go ahead.
And the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court.
Yeah, everything is joined together with joints and bands, and that's just how the body of Christ is. Every one of us has our position in the body of Christ, just like every part of our body has its position. The toe is not going to do the work of the ear or the nose, okay? It doesn't work that way. The toe is supposed to do what the toe does, the big toe. The toe next to it is supposed to do its job. The fingers are to do their job. The eyes do theirs, the ears theirs, the nose theirs, and the mouth it, and so on. And all the other parts of the human body have their purpose. The hair is for decoration. I say that because my hair is checking out, and so it's not that valuable, right? Who needs to be decorated except by the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
I wouldn't be mentioning that, but when I was younger, they used to call me cool hair. All right? And so I'm not that cool as far as the hair is concerned anymore, but I'm far much more cool when it comes to the Word of the Lord. Amen? Because there isn't anything important about hair. Barbers cut it off and they sweep it up on the floor. But the important thing is the Word of the Lord. Amen? Because it keeps our entire body, if we keep every word, it keeps our tent, the tent that we have, the Lord, ourselves living in with the Lord, and the Lord living in with us, it keeps that intact, and keeps it the holy temple of God. Okay, then what?
the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court, and their cords.
Yeah, the pins are what are like the stakes on a tent outside, and the cords spread out and tie to the pins so that the tent stays taut, tight, okay? You understand?
Yes.
Those are the pins, because I used to help put up circus tents when I was a kid. Make back then $1 an hour, that was pretty good. Amen? Bought a lot of food for my mom and brothers. Okay, then what?
The cloths of service, to do service in the holy place. The holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons.
And see, there's pins in the Word of God that keep our tent livable for the Lord, keeps us holy, so that the Lord will continue living in us. He's not going to live in a dilapidated tent that's full of holes and tears, and we have to be anchored down like a tent. And Jesus is our anchor, and he's our pins and cords and joints and bands and staves and boards. All these are symbolic of the different spirits of the Lord that keep, if we adhere to the Word of God, keep us a holy temple of God. Okay? It's all symbolic that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Then what?
The holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office.
Right. We have to be holy, spotless, without sin. We can't have alcohol because we're the priests, and the priests are not to take alcohol when they officiate. And we as priests are called on 24 hours a day to officiate, and we couldn't be testimonies of the Lord if we had alcohol on our breath. I wouldn't listen to anybody like that, and you won't either. Amen? And we're the temple of the Lord. And we're always ministering there on duty all day long, so we can't have alcoholic beverages. Okay, then what?
And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Okay.
Translation, verses 1 through 20. Instructions for the Sabbath. Now Moses called a meeting of all the people and told them, quote, "You must obey these instructions from the Lord. Each week work for 6 days only. The seventh day is a day of total rest, a holy day that belongs to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day will die. Do not even light fires in your houses on that day," unquote.
Right, now the Jews, if they're going to observe the Sabbath, they make their meals, like probably lunch meat and stuff like that, potato salad, they make it the day before, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm Hebrew, and I have other blood in me as well, but primarily more Hebrew than anything, and Sharon is Hebrew. And she was raised Jewish. And you were actually even bat mitzvah, weren't you? Or not? She didn't qualify.
Yeah.
It's good that you weren't.
The Orthodox Jews don't believe in it.
The Orthodox? And you were Orthodox?
I was raised in an Orthodox synagogue.
She was raised in an Orthodox synagogue, which means zilch, right? In comparison to the word of the Lord. All right. So we're not exalting that religion, because it's a false religion, because they don't believe in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Judaism or any of your isms, Catholicism, they are not of the Lord. They're pagan and false, because they don't accept the Messiah as he is. They don't accept the Word as it is. Okay, then what?
Gifts for the tabernacle. Then Moses said to all the people, quote, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is invited to bring these offerings to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair for the cloth, tanned ram skins and fine goat skin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other stones to be set in the ephod and the chest piece. Quote, "Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded. The entire tabernacle, including the sacred tent and its coverings, the clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the ark and its poles, the ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to enclose the ark in the most holy place, the table, its carrying poles, and all of its utensils, the bread of the presence, the lampstand and its accessories, the lamp cups and the oil for lighting, the incense altar and its carrying poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and its carrying poles and utensils, the large wash basin with its pedestal, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs of the tabernacle and courtyard and their cords, the beautifully stitched clothing for the priests to wear while ministering in the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron and his sons to wear while officiating as priests." Unquote. So all the people left Moses and went to their tents to prepare their gifts. King James Version, verse 21. "And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle."
Yeah, right there it tells you that the spirit, your own spirit, is the one that makes you willing, and the spirit of the Lord. If the spirit of the Lord is moving on you and your spirit is not willing to do what the Lord says, well then, your spirit is still dead. You're not saved. You're not born again. The spirit of the Lord has not yet circumcised your heart, hasn't cut your heart to enter in to do the will of the Lord. There are still things that your heart is not fully circumcised yet. I mean, if you hear things in the house or you think that there's something going on that's wrong, instead of doing it according to the order of the Lord, then there's still there's a cancer on you. Now, in Leviticus, in the 13th chapter, it talks about 21 to 23 different skin diseases, and they call them psoriasis and all different other kinds of things, but they're all listed under the Hebrew word meaning leprosy, and that is symbolic of sin. And so the only way that you can free yourself from sin is to allow your spirit to be totally circumcised by the word of God, which is the spirit and life, and to just reconcile with God and do everything that he tells you to do, because you mustn't bring false accusations against your brothers and sisters, because you're not going to be circumcised. You're not, the spirit of the Lord will not richly live in you, will not richly abide in you. And hence, you're not the temple, the holy temple of God. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and I'm not going to live a holy God inside of an unholy temple. It's just that simple. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
"And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments."
Yeah, now, even the garments, if there's any sort of contamination to a garment, if there's mold on it, that garment has to be destroyed. That's all said in the 13th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Inside the house, if there's any type of mold, it's like a leprosy, and it can either be cut out, which is symbolic of the spirit coming in and mortifying it, or it has to be burned with fire, destroyed, which is symbolic of the temple, you, the temple of God. And even, and if you are with any of these 21 to 23 different skin diseases, or if there's anything unholy on you, we're not talking about the garments, but to yourself, you have to be set aside from the congregation, cannot be considered part of the population of Israel. And wherever you're near people, you have to yell out, unclean, unclean, uncover your face and say you're unclean. Now, instead of people today saying they're Christians, and they know that there's sin on their soul, they should say to everybody, I'm an unclean vessel. I'm an unclean vessel. Don't follow my testimony. Don't follow my testimony. I'm with leprosy. My clothing is contaminated. My house is contaminated. And my body is one of these 23 different skin diseases. And they're all deemed to be leprosy. Okay? So, but people are not that honest today to do that. Unless, then sometimes God will cause some kind of a horrible disease to break out on your skin. And sometimes it isn't because of sin, like with Job. He broke out with boils and so on. And it wasn't because of sin. It was just because Satan said that if God took the hedge away from him, that he would curse God. And of course, God put him to the test and it never happened. Amen?
Amen.
But, so people have to have discernment to know whether it's sin on a person or if it's because Satan is attacking and God is allowing the man to be tested. Amen? All right, let's go.
Verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Translation, verses 21 through 29. If their hearts were stirred and they desired to do so, they brought to the Lord their offerings of materials for the tabernacle and its furnishings and for the holy garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. Some brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, medallions, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind to the Lord. Others brought blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen or goat hair for cloth. Some gave tanned ram skins or fine goat skin leather. Others brought silver and bronze objects as their offerings to the Lord. And those who had acacia wood brought it. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen cloth, and they brought them in. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin and weave the goat hair into cloth. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gemstones to be used for the ephod and the chest piece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light, and anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who wanted to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their offerings to the Lord. King James Version, verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Translation, verse 30 through 35. And Moses told them, quote, The Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, intelligence, and skill in all kinds of crafts. He is able to create beautiful objects from gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in cutting and setting gemstones, and in carving wood. In fact, he has every necessary skill. And the Lord has given him, both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as jewelers, designers, weavers, and embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn of fine linen cloth. They excel in all the crafts needed for the work.
Praise the Lord, that was the last verse in chapter 35 of Exodus, and now we'll do some commentary, as though I haven't already done some. Right?
35, verse 4 through 9, and 20 through 29. The offerings that were spoken of in this chapter are what the Lord calls free will offerings. These free will offerings were given by the Israelites to show their commitment to God. Many of the other sacrifices and offerings in the law of Moses were absolutely mandatory. They had to be given. They were required, almost like paying taxes, and it was even more mandatory than paying taxes. The free will offering was completely voluntary. It was to be used to finance and build the tabernacle. All people joyfully gave into doing this. This was showing their selflessness, serving God and each other. 35 verse 30 through 36 verse 3. These talented people who were tremendously gifted needed to have a clear sense of their true identity. Many times such people can be described as either self-glorifying or self-depreciating. Neither of these opinions is a healthy or accurate self-assessment.
No, if you think of yourself as being more than you are, or even less than you are, the Lord says we're the sons of God. You're not to think of yourself as less than that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Neither of these opinions is a healthy or accurate self-assessment, and neither one of them is pleasing to God. There shouldn't be any sense of superiority because you have a talent, whatever your talent is, or you shouldn't feel any sense of inferiority if you don't have any such kind of a talent. Because among God's people, every member of Christ's body plays a very unique, important role. Everyone is important in one way or the other. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27.
you know, the congregation can just read that for themselves. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that was the end of the commentary for Exodus chapter 35. This is Tony Alamo. And again, that was Exodus 35, 35th chapter. We've got only five more to go. And so I pray that all these things have made a difference in your life, has strengthened you for another day. We're not to worry about it serving tomorrow, because we'll be given the power tomorrow to take care of the evil thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Sufficient is the evil of this day, and more than sufficient is the word of the Lord to keep us to standing through all the evil of this sick, condemned world. Keep looking up. Keep thinking about the Lord and about all the blessings that we have for serving Him and letting Him use our bodies, which is now His body, as His temple, and thank Him and praise Him for using us in these last days. For what a glorious day it'll be when He comes and to takes us home, and throughout eternity, people that we helped win their souls to the Lord will walk on the streets of glory, and they'll see us and say, thank you. Thank you very much for helping to save my soul by bringing the gospel of this kingdom of heaven that we're in right now to us while we were still alive on earth. Meditate on that. Think about that all day long. Keep looking up. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Amen.